نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, all praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we ask for His help, we beg for His forgiveness. We seek refuge and protection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of ourselves and the evil of our sins. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides to the straight path, no one can misguide him. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows to go astray, no one can guide him to the truth. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is without partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. قُلْ بِلَهِ مِنْ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ أَوْ يُوْ بَلِيفْ. Fear Allah as He should be feared and die not except as Muslims. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَوْلِ بِلَهِ مِنْ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضُ وَأُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَاءِ وَالضَّرَاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, be quick in the race for forgiveness from your Lord, and for a garden whose width is that of the heavens and the earth, prepared for the righteous. Those who spend freely, whether in prosperity or in adversity, who restrain anger and pardon men, for Allah loves those who do good. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so the topic of the khutbah is related to one portion of that last ayat that I read, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared a garden for the people who are generous, and in particular, the point that inshallah is the topic of the khutbah today, is the people who restrain their anger. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a man who came to him and who asked him, he said, advise me. And the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا تَغْضَبْ. He said, don't get angry. And the man asked him again, like he wanted more advice. Advise me. And again the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا تَغْضَبْ. And again the man asked him again, give me advice. And the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا تَغْضَبْ. Don't get angry. So, this is advice for this man, this Sahaba who came to the Prophet ﷺ, and it's advice for all human beings till the end of time. That when a man came and he advised him, and the reason why he's asking him over and over, he's like, he wants something more. Okay, what else? And he kept repeating it. لا تغضب. Advise me. لا تغضب. Advise me, la tazdab. Over and over he repeats the same advice to this person. So that's advice to us. Right? The advice of the Prophet ﷺ given 1400 years ago to that man at that time in that place was meant for all of us. And so we know there's numerous references in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talking about anger and controlling anger. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is known to have said that a person of strength is not the person who has the ability to wrestle another man to the ground. He said the strong person is the one who can control himself when he's angry. So this is, I mean, you can't get better advice than that. In terms of one of the gifts of the Prophet ﷺ was that he had the gift of succinct speech, meaning speech that was few in words, but broad in meaning, and deep in meaning, and expansive. And it's very, just from the first hadith that I mentioned, when the man asked for advice numerous times, the Prophet said, "La taghdab," don't get angry. And the simple analogy of the person who, the strong man is the one not who can wrestle another man to the ground, but it's the one who can control his anger. So we know that anger is something that it exists in all of our hearts, and it's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in the human heart. But if not controlled, it can lead to destruction. How many people do we know whose families have been broken, relationships destroyed because of something said out of anger? Right? All of us probably know somebody, maybe we ourselves have experienced it, where we've said things simply out of anger that we didn't mean, and caused great harm to our relationships, to our families, to our friends, to whoever. All because we couldn't control ourselves when we had to say something. And we know this advice from the Prophet ﷺ is meant for us from 1400 years ago. But even in our own society, we know it's a recognized ill, right? Even for people who commit crimes, for example, one of the consequences that may result is that person is ordered to go to something like anger management, for example, right? To fix their demeanor, to maybe improve their life, to improve their relationships. And so this is something of value to us. This is something that we have to recognize. And if we have a problem with anger, we have to address it. Right? It's one of those things that people can sometimes just kind of brush aside and say, you know what, that's just the way I am. I get angry and that's how I react to things, and that's enough for me. But that's not our deen. Our deen is not just, you know, accepting the way we are and being content with it. Our deen is to constantly improve, to constantly make mujahida, to combat ourselves, to try to remove these things that which lead to so much destruction. Right? So this is part of who we should be. The Prophet ﷺ, one of his hallmarks is that he never when he got angry, the Prophet ﷺ didn't yell at people. He didn't scream at people. When he was upset about something, what's described about him when he was upset is that his complexion would change. Right? Or that he would maybe stay silent. That was his expression of when he was upset about something. He didn't yell, he didn't scream, he didn't go out and even in battle, he didn't scream. He didn't, you know, and the Sahaba would be, you know, they'd be getting ready for battle and they would, you know, get pumped up. And he would say, "Stop raising your voice. We don't pray to a deaf God. Our Creator is not deaf. That we have to yell and scream and make noise." That was not the nature of the Prophet ﷺ. He was gentle, he was calm, and he was controlled in the way he expressed himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he gave us advice on how to control these things. One of the things that the Prophet ﷺ advised us, when a person is angry, he advised us to seek refuge from the shaytan. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. To seek refuge with Allah from the accursed shaitan. Right? So we know that there's a connection between anger and the shaitan. And we know, anybody who's ever had an experience where you've gotten angry, sometimes it doesn't happen right away. Sometimes you have a situation where maybe you feel slighted or offended, and you start, the anger starts building up. And if you actually go back and think about what you were thinking at the time, or what led to that maybe outburst later on, you could trace it back to the whisperings of the shaitan, right? Because sometimes these thoughts, they come out of nowhere, right? Why did that person say that to you? He shouldn't be saying that to you. You don't deserve to that kind of treatment. He needs to be punished, or he needs to, you know, be taught a lesson, or whatever the case may be. And, you know, these thoughts start circulating and circulating and circulating until it builds up, and then the person has an outburst. Right, we can probably all experience this type of, or remember an incident where something like this happened. Right, and so you know that there's a shaitanic influence there happening. And when a person is angry, you're basically opening yourself up to the shaitan. So one of the things that the ulama say is that when a person is angry, everything that is haram becomes halal, meaning they make it halal in their mind. Right, and that is why people who are angry, they end up doing some of the worst things that when they look back they regret it. Right, many people who are in prison or, you know, been punished for things, they did it out of anger, and if you ask them, they regret it. They say, you know, I wish I hadn't done that, but it was an issue of maybe related to their pride, or, you know, whatever the case may be. But oftentimes it comes down to their anger. Right, that they did something because they couldn't control themselves. And so the Prophet ﷺ also advised us that in regards to this control is when a person does become angry. And this, again, this is easier said than done, right? When a person becomes angry, if you feel the anger coming on, if you're standing, sit down. Right, so in other words, it's kind of like you're interrupting the pattern of whatever it is that you're going to do. You're trying to block it off. And if one is sitting, you should lay down. Right, if you're standing, you're feeling angry, sit down. And if you're sitting and you're feeling angry, then lay down. Right, so in other words, just kind of divert that anger and try to forcefully put it to sleep, in other words, right? And that's so many words. So, you know, and this is similar to what, you know, people who maybe teach anger management, right? Is maybe, you know, some of the advice, for example, is before you respond, wait 10 seconds. Right? Just before you respond instantly or automatically to somebody's comment or statement or whatever, just calm down. Just give yourself a few seconds before you respond. Right? And that can make all the difference. So there's a couple of things, right? So there's a couple of ways that we, you know, in order to really affect our behavior and change it, we have to first recognize that maybe we have an issue with anger. Right? Maybe some people don't have an issue with anger. Inshallah, you don't. But many people do. And particularly for men, it's something that because of the authority and because of the position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed us in, as maybe the more physically bigger person, the person who is the breadwinner, the person who has authority over their children or their wife, that role can be abused, right? And as such, you may assume that it's your right to get angry. And as such, it's your right to express your anger. And we know the Prophet ﷺ was not this way with his family. Right? When there was an issue, he would stay silent. That was his expression of displeasure. Right? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so for us to have this approach where, you know, it's our right and we're going to insist that it's done in a certain way, and if it's not, we're going to, you know, we're going to have a meltdown. Right? That's not... And some people are proud of that, having that type of role. But we know that this is far from the sunnah of our Prophet ﷺ. Right? He said, the person who is strong is the person who can control their anger. Right? So these are all things that we have to focus on. Some of the things that we can look at in ourselves to kind of figure out whether we're actually people who maybe are quick to anger. Because sometimes we don't recognize the problem. And maybe other people around us are, you know, they know we're a quick-tempered person. Sometimes the person himself or herself doesn't realize this. And everybody is always kind of walking on eggshells around the person who's quick to anger. Right? So there's a few things. This is taken from some modern sources to try to recognize this character trait. Are you one of these people, for example, who if things aren't going the way you want, you burst out in anger? Right? Do you get angry when things aren't going the way you want? When something happens the opposite of what you expected, do you get angry? Do you start saying things that you normally wouldn't say when you're angry? And after the anger subsided, do you regret what you've done or said? Right? See, this is some of the things that maybe you can kind of reflect on for ourselves. And I give this advice first to myself, first and foremost. Right? That you know, maybe you kind of just sit and reflect. If you've had a bout of anger, an incident where you've gotten angry, kind of sit back and reflect, like, what made me angry? How did I react? How did I treat the other person? Was it because things weren't, you know, the food wasn't cooked exactly the way I wanted? Was the house a mess when I came home? Was my kid, you know, not being obedient as I wanted? Or whatever, right? And suddenly, you know, am I, you know, exploding at this person because of those things? One of the great ulama of our ummah, Imam Ghazali, he lived in the 13th century. He described some medicine in terms of, in a metaphorical sense, to treat anger. And he said to examine the, you know, in order to kind of treat anger, to deal with it head on, is to try to understand certain things about anger, about what happens to a person when they're angry. So I'm going to mention some of these things that he described. And this is over 1,000 years ago. So it shows you the depth of our deen in terms of the type of things that our Prophet ﷺ taught and what mattered to people in terms of improving themselves and bettering themselves and making themselves a real man and a real woman, right? A people of sith and strength and true character, right? So the Imam Ghazali described, he said, think about, first thing that he described is that think about the reward of controlling anger, right? So this is in reference to the Prophet ﷺ saying that if a person intends to do a harm but actually doesn't do it, there's a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. Simply refraining from doing that haram thing. So in this case, if one gets angered, wants to lash out, if one controls himself or herself, there's a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. And so reflect on this reward. The second thing is to remember the fear, and to remember and fear the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if you take revenge, or you know, you take some type of action based on your anger, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than your Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger is greater than your anger. Meaning if you displease Him, then you're displeasing your Creator. And there may be a repercussion from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. So it's just a matter of reflecting on that. The third thing is simply from a dunya perspective, if you end up acting on your anger and harming somebody, there may be a retribution in the dunya for you from that person. Right? Maybe that person will now want to take retribution against you if you harmed them. Or maybe against your family. So for that sake, refrain from acting on your anger. The fourth thing, and this is very interesting, he says, reflect on the way the face of an angry person looks. He said it looks like a ferocious beast. Right? And if you've ever looked at the face of a person who's completely enraged, right? And you probably had that experience when you come across somebody who's enraged, or angry, their face changes, right? They look like a different person. Some people, their eyes turn red. I've seen it. Maybe you've seen that too. Their eyes turn red, right? Because the blood vessels are bulging, and their face changes. They look like a different person, right? Especially when they're yelling, right? So this is one of the things. He says, imagine what you look like to another person. You look like a ferocious beast. The fifth thing he said is remember that the shaitan is with you. when you're getting angry. You open yourself up to Him. And He's encouraging the behavior, whatever it is that you may be thinking about doing in your anger. The shaitan is right there prodding you along. And then the sixth thing is to remember that whatever has happened that's made you upset, whatever has happened at the end of the day that's made you upset, it's because of the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one in control of everything. And whatever it is that upset you, He made that happen. So be content with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those are the six things that He advised us. He said, these are medicines for us to reflect on, to try to, you know, realize that we may have this problem, to fix it. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq in improving ourselves and removing this quality that we may have, that we may end up expressing and destroying relationships through. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and on the day of Jummah, inshaAllah, inshaAllah, the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may accept our dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to put barakah on our actions, inshaAllah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك من أمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. So the topic of the khutbah today, for maybe some people might have come in later, is the advice of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's expression of the reward for the people who control their anger, and the advice of the Prophet ﷺ, who advised the man who came to him one time. He asked for advice, and the Prophet ﷺ advised him, لا تغضب, don't get angry. And he asked him again, give me advice, and he said again, لا تغضب, don't get angry. And he asked him again, give me advice, and he said again, لا تغضب, don't get angry. So this is advice for us, to control ourselves and to try to make sure that we are not of those people who are destroying things around us, right? And that is all an expression of anger. So we can, inshallah, ask everybody to move forward so that there's room for the people coming in, inshallah. The Prophet ﷺ also described, he said, anger comes from the shaitan. Shaitan is made from fire. And I wanted to leave with this one story just to kind of describe the way that the Prophet ﷺ taught his companions to be, and which are all examples for us. There's a story of Ali radiallahu anhu who was in battle in a particular situation, fighting the Quraysh, and he cornered a man in the sense that he knocked the sword from him, and just as he was about to finish him off, and this is in battle. Right, so you can imagine battle in that time, in that place, in that era, right, where human beings fought hand to hand with swords, and you know it was gritty and it was bloody and it was very vicious type of fighting, right? These are face to face people fighting, you know, to survive, and so you can imagine on the battlefield, he's knocked the sword out of this man, and he's about to finish him off. And the man spits in the face of Ali, radiallahu anhu, spits in his face. And instead of bringing the sword down on him, Ali, radiallahu anhu, he drops his sword. So this man is waiting for basically to be killed in this battle, and instead he says, "What are you doing? What are you waiting for?" And the man, Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, if I killed you at this moment, it would have been out of anger for being insulted because you spat at me, as opposed to doing what I'm doing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I wouldn't be doing this for Allah, I'd be doing it for myself. And so he, in the midst of this combat, he stopped. Right? And it's reported that this man became a Muslim, right? So this is an example of the type of people the Prophet ﷺ, you know, the people that they took what they took from the Prophet ﷺ, right? They took his hilm, they took his peace, they took his calmness. This was the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That people, when they acted with deliberateness, they acted with calmness, they acted with control and self-control. And that is the epitome of a Muslim. It's a person who is in control, a person who is calm, a person who doesn't react to things, the person who is proactive. Right? It's a person who, you know, we're not people who they depict as in the world today. Right? This was not our Prophet ﷺ. Our Prophet ﷺ was a man who embodied the perfection of human character. And that is something that we have to really kind of focus on for ourselves. And this is, all of this stuff is not easy, right? All of this stuff is hard. It's easier talked about than actually done. And that is really, you know, that's our mujahidah. That's our struggle. Constantly to fight against ourselves. And we know that there is a reward for the people who struggle, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in regards to physical fighting, the person who stays at home is not the same as the person who goes out and struggles. Right? So the same could be said for the person who's, I can't change myself. This is just how I am. You got to deal with it. That person is not the same as the person who's struggling to resist against his urges and to just act out and lash out at whoever he wants or she wants. Right? That's not our deen. We all want Jannah. We all want to have the highest of Jannah. That is the wish and desire of every single Muslim. But there's a price to it. And some of the ulama say, what's the price? You want the best? You want the best? So what does Allah want from you? He wants everything. Allah wants everything from you. Right? And that means constantly struggling. Right? Constantly working, constantly trying to change ourselves. Right? It's not easy. It's not necessarily even fun. But you want the best of Jannah? Well, there's a price to pay. And that is, we give ourselves completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? We want everything from Him. We got to give everything of ourselves. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be of the people who are constantly struggling to better ourselves and to improve ourselves for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that we are the people who are granted Jannat al-Firdaus, and who are with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Day of Judgment, when everybody will be in fear, we'll be secure, knowing that we are the people who eyes have met with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who we get to drink from his hand on the Day of Qiyamah. Right? We want to be those people. So there's a price to pay. Inshallah, Allah give us the tawfiq to pay that price, to work hard. And to do everything that we can to be of those people who are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وانصرنا فإنك خير الناصرين وفتحنا فإنك خير الفاتحين واغفر لنا فإنك خير الغافرين وارحمنا فإنك خير الراحمين وارزقنا فإنك خير الرازقين واهدنا ونجنا من القوم الظالمين وهب لنا ريحا طيبة كما هي في علمك وانشرح علينا من خزائن رحمتك واحملنا بها حمل الكرامة مع السلامة والعافية في الدين والدنيا والآخرة إنك على كل شيء قدير. And there's a request for a dua for a brother Ghani Shah who passed away. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him Jannat al-Firdaus, and that Allah forgive him his shortcomings, and that he of the people of paradise and who's in the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Day of Judgment, inshaAllah ta'ala. Subhanahu rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifoon, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa qadis salam.